One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, Fire and Fear, a conversation with Matthew Sorge. Understanding and believing in the paranormal doesn't always start in childhood. Sometimes life just takes you directly and points something out to you, which opens your eyes and makes you understand what may have been unthinkable just moments before. This is what happened to Matthew Sorge while he was relic hunting at an abandoned farmhouse one afternoon. It seemed that while he wasn't looking for it, the paranormal found him. This experience would immediately put Matthew on a journey searching for answers about who and what may be around us, even if we can't see them.
When I look back now in retrospect, there's a lot of things that I probably should have looked at differently. So I guess the best way to tell that story is I was pretty much a hardcore skeptic because I had just never had a paranormal experience of my own. In 2005, one of the things that I really enjoyed doing is metal detecting for relics from different periods in time, particularly around the turn of century Civil War era. That's the kind of relics I really like to find.
Sure.
And I was at an old farmhouse not too far from where I live. Now, mind you, at this point in time, I'm in my 30s, and I hadn't really had a notable paranormal experience that I ever thought of. I knew plenty of people that did, but I just never had one of my own. So I just kind of thought, well, that's cool. I just don't know what these people experience because I hadn't. Well, it all changed for me one fall day in 2005. I was relic hunting, like I mentioned earlier, that I like to do. And I know what instantly comes to your mind. It's the old guy at the beach with the flip-flops, you know, with the white stuff on his nose looking for, you know, pennies. But that's not what I do when I relic hunt. It's actually for preserving history. But anyways, I was at this old farmhouse, and to paint the picture for you, you drive down this country road where I live here in East Tennessee, and there's probably 8 or 10 acres of cornfield, and you go up past the house of the people that own the property, and you come up over the hill, and there sat this old abandoned house. And it was literally like something out of a, you know, quintessential horror film, in the sense that the roof was falling in, it was dilapidated, it was weather beaten, there was still old farm equipment laying around, the barn was still standing with stuff in it. It was almost like it was kind of frozen in time, abandoned, and just left there. Mm-hmm. And I got a good signal. I went with my metal detector, and I went down to recover the target, and I look up because I got that creeped out feeling like I was being watched. I look up, and in the second story of this house that hadn't been lived in decades is this elderly woman staring right back at me. In the time it took my mind to process what I was seeing, she vanished. So I did the thing that most of us do, and I tried to rationalize it by, hey, you know, I'm a full-time firefighter professionally. That's what I do as a job. I had a rough night last night, crazy shift. Maybe I'm just saying stuff. Well, I used to say I got the courage, or I used to say I got the time to go back to that site about 6 weeks later. The reality is I got the courage to go back, and I had another weird experience where I saw a shadow cross behind me, immediately thought it was the farmer, turned around, and there's nobody for 8 or 10 acres in either direction. So I did what all grown men do in that situation. I grabbed all my gear, threw it in my truck, and I left because I'd had two experiences I could not explain. That basically led me on this journey of, okay, why have these two things happened? How have I gone most of my adult life and never experienced anything? And now suddenly I've had two experiences I absolutely can't explain. That led to a passion, which, you know, became a big part of my life. Paranormal is a huge part of my life now. So that is the story of my first experience.
So tell me, I mean, prior to having those experiences, I know you said you were a skeptic, but did you believe that these things did happen to people? It's just you hadn't had any experiences up until that point, or did you question everyone's experiences and the legitimacy of ghosts or spirits existing?
I think it was a little bit of both. Like I said, thinking back in retrospect to other events in my life that, you know, now I wonder, you know, maybe that was the universe trying to give me a sign way back then and I just didn't pay attention. But I think a little bit of both. I think I always looked at it as it was certainly possible because I'm an open-minded person. I believe I have to experience things for myself to believe a lot of times, but I'm open to possibility. I'm not one of these people that just says, nope, absolutely not. So I guess I was a healthy skeptic in terms of I hadn't had an experience that I could relate it to for myself. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't quantify other people's experiences. I guess that might be a better way to put it.
Sure. When you, and it's just, it's kind of one of those things where once you have some experiences, sometimes it's like, oh, it kind of makes you look at things in different perspectives. And it sounds like you kind of had some of that when you were looking back on events prior to that, that you said you may have overlooked. What were some of those things as you, you know, kind of took the time and had those moments of, well, maybe that was something?
Yeah, I think we all have those moments in life where we go, you know, we think about being at a place, you know, maybe you were in an old historical building, or perhaps you were visiting somebody, you know, somewhere, a relative's house or whatever, and something wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or again, you're walking around this historic place and you just get that uneasy feeling. And I think we all have those moments. And I think we instantly try to rationalize experiences. And I also think it's why, like when we look at a photograph, we see a cloud in the sky, right? And we try to find a face, we see a face in the clouds because we try to assign it to something. I think we do that all the time. I think society kind of teaches us to dismiss things too quickly. So we don't dig deeper on those sides, the other side, because we kind of want to rationalize those experiences and assign it to something that we know. So thinking back, there were a few places that, you know, historical places in particular that I had visited because I am an avid history buff. I love historical stuff. And I had those weird moments where I just felt like very uneasy, and I felt like something was off, and I just assigned it to being something else. And now, like I said, in retrospect, I kind of wonder, you know, did I maybe miss out on a paranormal opportunity because I wasn't really open to those experiences at the time?
Do you have any specific moments? Like, for example, for me, one thing that I looked back on, and it kind of happened during our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, early on, where I was hearing stories about pets and people talking about feeling the pet jump on the bed after it had passed away and feeling that warmth and sometimes the paws moving around and that sort of stuff. And it immediately sparked to me a memory I had after I had a childhood cat that had passed away. And for years after that cat passed away, I'd lay in my bed and I would swear that I would think that this cat had jumped on the end of the bed, and you'd feel kind of the kneading of the paws as cats do. But I, for whatever reason, as much as I love the paranormal, I wasn't thinking in that way or in that vein when those events were happening. And I was just thinking, oh, it's muscle memory for myself or whatever, or just I'm just feeling things. Never once did I think maybe this actually was the ghost of the cat coming back, because it was so distinct the way that would feel. Did you ever have anything like that where you look back and go, huh, maybe that event was something, like a specific event?
Yeah, I think I can think of one. I just would like to comment on your story there. Yeah. And I think that is what is so wonderful about the paranormal and being open to experiences. I mean, you have to be diligent, obviously, and you have to do your part to debunk things to make sure that you are trying to find rational explanations. I think that as a researcher, I think that is the most important thing, is to, you know, be true to your methodology. But how come sometimes we are so quick, though, right, to dismiss these things? And like in your case, the rational thought was, well, you know, that probably isn't my cat. It's probably this, but maybe it is your cat. And I think that's the most fascinating thing about paranormal. So to give you a specific story, after my father passed away when I was a child, he passed away when I was 11. And I had a few dreams about him that were very, very real and very, very vivid. And now looking back to those dreams, I feel like those were actually more like visits than dreams, because he was always telling me that things were going to be okay and not to worry. So I stopped having them, you know, a few months after he passed. So in retrospect, I really feel like that was him visiting. There was another time about a year and a half after he passed away that I swore that I heard him in the hall. I heard his voice. But obviously when I went there, you know, got up from my nap and walked into the hallway where I was napping, I thought it was a dream. In retrospect, I wonder, will we ever know? Obviously not, but you have to wonder about those experiences. When you open your eyes to the world, the possibility beyond our five senses, it's really amazing what other explanations there could be for things that we experienced regularly.
Sure, very much so. So tell me, I mean, as you had that experience initially at that house where you looked up and you thought maybe you're just seeing stuff, because who doesn't just see old women in windows? You know?
Yes, exactly. And you know, that's so cliche, right? That's the crazy part. I mean, it's like that was my first thought, was here you finally have a paranormal experience, and my gosh, it's like the cliche thing that, that people say, you know. So it's how like, ironic is that?
I don't even like know what like a rational just seeing stuff answer would be either. Like where it's like, well, just seeing stuff. And when I just see stuff, it's I don't know, because I don't just see stuff.
You know? Right, exactly. Yeah.
Nobody just sees stuff.
I had gone my whole adult life, other than hearing my dad's voice that time in a nap, I had never experienced anything that I would even remotely classify as, you know, a paranormal experience. And then here I am, not thinking anything about paranormal and had no really interest in paranormal at that point in my life. And bam, there's this woman staring back at me, and she vanishes before my thin eyes. And I can tell you this, 15 years as a paranormal researcher now, having literally conducted hundreds of investigations, you know, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of nights of public events where we lead, you know, people in the public through haunted historic sites and do public investigations, as well as investigating some of the most infamous haunts throughout the country. To this day, I have not seen anything close. I've seen some partials. I've seen some shadow people. I've seen some amazing, incredible things I can't explain, but nothing comes close to what I experienced on that fall day in 2005.
Do you think it was that clear and that vibrant, for lack of a better term, to you, because you weren't looking for it? Where, you know, it's almost like, you know, meditation, where it's, if you're going to do that, you just kind of got to be in the moment and just kind of doing your thing. And you were just kind of in the moment doing your thing. You weren't like seeking that out. It was just there.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I never really, really thought of it in that context. But that does make a lot of sense, because it seems like when we have in the paranormal world, and you know this, you know, from researching the paranormal yourself, when you have those moments, it's sometimes when you're the most relaxed, right? It's when you're setting up equipment. It's when you're just talking. That's why we always have recorders running all the time, because you never know when that moment's going to happen, and it's not when you're going after it. So you raise a really interesting point that maybe we're so focused on trying to experience something, we miss the experience sometimes. That could absolutely be true. So that's an interesting way to put it, Tony.
When you had that experience and then you kind of, you know, walked away and you came back and you look at this a little bit of, you know, retrospective, you know, views, why do you think it all kind of started there for you, as far as having an experience at that moment in your life in your 30s and just boom, but nothing prior to that that was as, you know, as telling or as moving as that moment was?
And I think thinking back and looking at it, and I've analyzed this a lot, because, you know, when you have one of these really literally life changing moments, you kind of analyze things very differently. In my day job as a professional firefighter, life and death is something that, you know, I experience that both sides of that coin frequently in my job. So I think it is normal for people to question what happens next. And, you know, that's what happens with mortality. That's the age old question I think everybody has. And I think for some of us that work in environments where we're thrown into that more than maybe the average person is, maybe that's on our mind a little bit more. But I think the reason that these things happen, I think that the for lack of better words, there is something else. There is something obviously much larger than we are. Not to get all philosophical, but there's definitely something larger than we are. And I think the universe has a grand design. There's a plan. And when you're supposed to be brought into that part of the world, they bring you into that. So I really feel like spirit literally showed itself to me that day to open the door to this possibility for this amazing journey that I'm on now. And none of that would have ever been possible. And none of the amazing experiences that I've had and the incredible folks that I've gotten to meet and work with in this field would have ever been something for me had that experience not occurred. So I think it was, for lack of better words, not to again sound so cliche, but it was truly meant to be. I was meant to have that experience to be where I am today. I guess that's the way I kind of like to put it in context.
It's interesting because a lot of people will have sometimes those revelations, you know, in life at that sort of age after like a near-death experience or something of that nature. For you, you were out relic hunting. You know, I know, like, you know, there wasn't like a near-death experience at that moment in time. But I do get what you're saying, and I think I agree with that, where it's just sometimes it's time for that switch to be flipped on for you. And luckily, you didn't have to almost drown to get it.
Exactly.
Why do you think that was? I mean, is there anything that you look at in your life that was going on at that time that makes you say, maybe, you know, because of these circumstances, this is just what I needed? This is what the universe or God or whatever you want to call says, it's your turn to start, you know, feeling this stuff at that point in life.
Yeah, I really do. I think that there's a plan. I think that, and I'm not saying that everything is predetermined, but I think that we're all supposed to find who we are. We're supposed to find our higher self. And sometimes we find that through our own going inside ourselves and finding it. And sometimes our path finds us. I think those opportunities are afforded and we either take them or we don't. I had a choice that day. I could have dismissed what I saw and never ever thought about it again and put it in a little box and this whole journey never happens, or I embrace what was put before me and it sparks an interest. That interest becomes a research project, which develops into a passion, which becomes, in for lack of better words, a way of life from that point forward. So I really feel like the universe, you know, gives us these opportunities and we have to decide, you know, what to do with them. And was there anything that I could put my finger on and say, oh, yeah, this was happening in my life? No, my daughter had just been born that year, about a month and a half prior. So that is a life-changing experience when you become mm-hmm. a parent. It does change everything and it has you looking at priorities different and you're looking at life completely different because now you're not the center. You and your spouse aren't the center of the universe. Now this little person is the center of the universe. So maybe I was vulnerable in that sense mm-hmm. because I was opened more than I had been prior to that. And I truly think the more that we open and the more that we try to find our higher purpose and our higher self, the really more opportunity we have to experience life on a more beautiful, broader spectrum.
I completely agree. I think the more that we can be open to that sort of stuff, the more we will find those sort of things. And it's not always, you know, something scary or bad. It's just more of an understanding of everything that's around us. Let me ask you this. Do you think that just by nature of what you do for a living as a firefighter, I mean, you're putting yourself in danger on a regular basis. Just the fact that you're out there in those sort of situations, far more dangerous situations than the average person would be. Many people would, if they were in your situation, be walking away from that if they're not a firefighter saying, I just had a near-death experience, where in reality, you probably come close to that quite often. But because you know what you're doing, you know how to handle those things and get out of them. Just by pure nature of that on such a frequent basis, Do you think that somewhat heightens your sense to these sort of things just by sheer number and sheer odds of the amount of times you've been in very dangerous, difficult situations?
Oh, wow. Another fantastic question. I've never really looked at it that way. I guess as firefighters, we typically, you know, EMS workers, law enforcement officers, soldiers, none of us in those type of professions really look at it, I guess, the way the general public does. Mm-hmm. To us, we look at it. We have a skill set. We're trained to perform a specific task, and we rely on that training and that repetition to keep us safe.
Sure.
Do I know my job is dangerous? Yes. Have I been injured because of my job? Yes. But I never really look at it that way. I don't think most of us do. But what I do think it does is it does give us, you know, where we do see death on such a frequent basis and we see the process of being alive 1 second and gone the next. I do think for those of us that work in that environment, our sense of the balance is probably more delicate than everybody else's, because the average person maybe only experiences death a couple of times in their entire life, where we see it literally all the time. I think our appreciation of the fragility of life may be slightly, our view is different. Not to say that other people don't respect it and love it and value it as much as we do. Just we see that harsh reality so frequently. I think maybe that forces us to look at the split second, you know, we're here 1 minute and gone the next thing, more than maybe the average person does. I guess in that respect, having sort of always have that in your front view. You live life to the fullest anyway, because you know that we don't know. We don't know when our card's going to get punched. So, maybe that does open that door even more, because I do find it interesting. There are a lot of firefighters and EMS people that, you know, are in the paranormal field, and nurses and mm-hmm. even some physicians. So, we're seeing people that are in those environments stepping into paranormal quite often. And that might be why. Maybe that's part of that, trying to get, you know, answers beyond what we have through, you know, everyday life experience.
I was talking to a doctor the other day on the show, and I was asking, he's very much into the paranormal, investigates, and has a lot of interesting stories, and is a very well-respected doctor. And I said, this is an interesting, you know, question, because I think so many people view professions such as doctors or firefighters or policemen or soldiers, and from the outside, we look and go, they're professional. They don't have time for nonsense of ghosts or things like that. But right. but I think in reality, is it more so the opposite, where because you guys end up experiencing some of these things so close up, life and death, just the facts of life and death, but within those contexts, there's also an array of other unexplained things that end up happening that, yeah, you can't put in a report. You can't necessarily talk about, you know, out loud to everybody, because they're going to think you're nuts. But in reality, there's a lot of untold stories that go on within these fields just by sheer nature of how close you all come to death. I know I get tons of stories from nurses and such, and police workers as well.
And I think absolutely. And I think that's why I love that paranormal is finally becoming so mainstream, you know, because even in 2005, when I had those experiences, by 2007, I was starting to investigate and forming a team and doing all the things that we now do as a regular part of our everyday life. But back then it was still kind of one of those things like, oh, you're one of those people kind of things. And I think we're shifting away from that. And I saw a recent survey that said it was approximately 48% of Americans believe in the paranormal. And I saw something in the UK was very close to like 44 or 46%, or they may have been flip-flopped. We may have been 46 and they were 48. The moral of the story was almost half, or one out of every two people pretty much believes that the paranormal exists.
And those are the ones that say it out loud.
Right. That's exactly where I was going with that, right? So how many people won't admit it? How many people, I think so, but I won't admit it. So when I hear of doctors doctors and nurses and lawyers and, you know, academic people, people that are, you know, like even on my team, we actually, you know, our lead psychic medium, she's a PhD in education. So we're a very diverse, educated team. And I like to see that because it to me, it just shows how widespread the field has really become. And it, I think it adds additional credibility when you have, you know, more and more people from all walks of life experiencing things and going on a record and saying, yeah, not only do I experience it, but, you know, I go searching for it. So, yes, I absolutely think that is definitely part of why maybe some of us in certain fields get drawn to that. Because I know for me, you know, like responding to emergencies, I have responded to emergencies and seen patients that there's no way they should be alive, but they are. And then I've seen patients that by all intents and purposes, when we get on scene, should completely be alive, but they're not. So something else is obviously at work here that's bigger than we are. And I think by definition, the word paranormal, I think people get that confused too. I think they automatically think that means ghosts or whatever. For me, it simply means not normal. Mm-hmm. Paranormal, something out of the norm.
Tell me about some of the experiences that you've had out there in the field, that like specific ones that you've walked away from going, I think this something else was going on here beyond, you know, just, you know, a medical situation or a mental health situation or this or that, where there was something paranormal at play, for good or bad.
You mean as far as in my professional capacity as a firefighter?
Yes.
I don't really think I have a specific of that, but what I was meaning is sometimes I see, like, we may respond to a vehicle accident and, you know, the vehicles are completely destroyed, and by all intents and purposes, we fully pull up on scene expecting this to be really, really bad. And then, you know, the patient climbs out of the car and is, when I say patient, but the person driving the vehicle, who in essence should be a patient or should be not alive, is crawling out of the car speaking to us.
Yeah.
Part of that is safety of vehicle, sure. But by the same token, I've responded to a vehicle accident in a parking lot and literally somebody get hit and their neck snap and they're not, you know, in the car. They hit another car in a parking lot and don't survive just because of the angle that they hit. So I think that, maybe there's something larger. There is something bigger, whether you call it God, a universal life force. You know, I don't want to get into religious beliefs, but whatever people believe, there's definitely something bigger than the human experience.
When you have things like that, that are, especially the cases, it's always lovely to hear the ones where, you know, someone survived a horrible accident and you're just amazed that they're able to get out and they're okay. But what I find almost more eerie and somewhat questionable are the ones where, like you said, you're in a parking lot, they got, you know, just, you know, nicked a little bit on the vehicle and somehow their neck snapped. And it's something very extreme and very dark where it's like, how on earth did this happen? Like, how did it go from this to that? There's not like a logical reason why there would be this much damage to that individual. Do you ever wonder with things like that of stories where it was there something darker at play? Was this person's time, or there was something going on with that individual that, although it shouldn't have caused that much damage, did, because there was something else darker at play around them?
You know, I've never really, again, I guess all the years of doing my day job, if you will, I focus on my skills and my training, and I don't often apply what I do in the paranormal to my day job.
Sure.
In that sense. But yeah, that raises a very interesting question, because I think if you take that in the paranormal context and kind of take it away from the emergency services context, how come we respond to in paranormal world, and I'll use the term respond, but we go on a case and everything in this case seems to be centered around otherwise, you know, wonderful folks that are having these weird things happening that they shouldn't be, but yet then other people who maybe lived in the same house never experienced any of that phenomena. Not saying that it's something sinister or dark at play, just saying that why do some people experience the phenomena and not others? So yeah, that's definitely possible. You know, is it maybe sometimes, you know, what's going on with the people more so than the location? And I think that's excuse me, a big part of, sorry, I lost my my throat got dry there.
Fine.
Whew, you'll have to fix that one in the edit.
It's but, that time of year. Go for it.
Sorry.
Allergies are horrible.
No, I think that sometimes what happens is, you know, we have to look at both sides of that, right? We have to look at, is it the house? Is it the location? Is it the land? Is it the person? Mm-hmm. You know, that gets into a whole host of other theories. You know, now we're getting into, you know, stuff like, you know, poltergeist activity and PKE and all those different things. So it's a wide array. So, yeah, I think that sometimes there are other factors definitely influencing what we're experiencing.
When it comes to you're out there in the field, and let's take a step back into the world of relic hunting, which you enjoy doing. Have you ever come across anything with the objects that you found that you would say ended up being paranormal?
Have I directly linked energy to an object that I have personally recovered? No. Okay. However, what I have done is pulled relics or items that we have pulled out of the ground and used them as trigger objects and gotten responses, whether it be EVP, spirit box, mm-hmm. you know, something happened that is directly linked to using that item by putting a part of that item back into the environment. A perfect example, my team, SRS Paranormal, is based out of the Nickerson Snead House Museum in Glade Spring, Virginia. It is a fantastic location. Honestly, not just saying it because it's our home base, but truly, it is one of the most active places that we've gone to. And again, I've really traveled all over the country investigating some of the most infamous haunts. But during the very first trip there in 2014 or 15, we were doing a relic survey to pull some relics out to see if we could find anything related to the property. And we came across this brass tube, and it was strange, and it had a hole on one side that was smaller than the other side. And I couldn't place what it was. It was too fat to be a handle and too long to be anything usable and too fragile to really be something you'd apply force to like a handle. And after some research, talking with the owner is actually our lead psychic medium, Dr. Rhonda Claudel. She is also the owner of this particular property. Talking with her and looking at the history and getting our historian to look at the history of the area and the house, and understanding that through her research and through our historian's research, that he was the local town physician at the time. And he actually ran his office out of the house at one point when he was, you know, treating patients. So that ended up being a barrel part for the microscope, where you would look through and see where the lenses would be. So there'd be glass in there, and that would be an early, you know, version of a microscope. So mid-1800s microscope piece that was directly related to Dr. Snead and probably used in his practice. Bringing that piece into the house and performing some investigations and sessions with it actually did yield us some results. So if in that sense, we definitely have used relics to definitely help us make contact.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Matthew Sorge. In part two, what is the history of the Nickerson Snead House that Matthew's team calls its home base? What were some of the first haunting experiences that Matthew had at that very house, the Nickerson Snead House? Is it more likely for a soul to haunt a location if they had a storied history in life? And do spirits sometimes take on the persona of other spirits because the living are requesting to communicate with them? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.